Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Folks, this next story doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal. Trust and believe me. Kevin Jackson, who you're listening to, the Kevin Jackson Network. Trevor Noah, folks, is leaving The Daily Show. And when I saw this announcement, I said to myself, maybe The Daily Show will now get a real comedian. Speaking of real comedians, folks in Florida, we are postponing the UACT, the Unapologetically American Comedy Tour, due to Hurricane Ian. We moved it out. A lot of people, even though it didn't directly hit Tampa, a lot of our friends did lose property and had damage and just not in a laughing mood given the timing of the show. So we're pushing it out until February. Everybody who's got tickets, there were quite a few tickets sold. If you want to hang on. You can get issued a refund or you can hang on and it will be coming back. The announcement will be made as soon as we get the contract date for the Palladium move from October 20th to February. I think it'll give everybody more time. We'll be over hurricane season and ready for some more laughs. So you'll be getting an official announcement through my staff on that, but I just want to make everybody aware of it. Anyway, Don Lemon got demoted. We played a clip of him the other day getting torched talking about hurricanes. Chris Cuomo, he's in purgatory over at Newsy. Nobody even watches the channel. I don't even, what's the name of it? It's a Dan Abrams channel. I may have gotten that wrong. But it's a purge. Breitbart wrote this of Trevor the hack comedian Noah. When Jon Stewart left The Daily Show in 2015, he averaged 1.3 million viewers per night. After 7 years of humiliating failure, Stewart's hand-picked replacement, some guy named Trevor Noah, is slinking off with an average viewership as of last week of 363,000 viewers. So in other words, Trevor Noah, folks, has lost 75% of the audience. 75%! He's making millions of dollars to lose 75% of the audience. And he says, you know, I think I'm going to leave the show after 7 years. How did he keep the show for 7 years? See, this is what I love about conservatism. If I were losing an audience at that level, I wouldn't go on 7 years. I would go to management and say, hey, guys, look, apparently formula's not working for me. You know what? Don't pay me this kind of money to do this. Let's find a replacement who can move this audience, who will take this information and move it forward. Now, let's ask ourselves this, conservatives listening to the Kevin Jackson Network. What happened to Trevor Noah's show? Or I should say, what happened to John Daly's show? Now, see, John Daly, despite, you know, I'll be honest with you, the guy's a knucklehead too. But at least he tried to have a level of moderation. A level of moderation. Sure, he's a left-leaning knucklehead. I get it. But at least he tried. There were occasions where I think John Daly would have made more fun of Joe Biden by far than Trevor Noah. But what did Trevor Noah do? He did what all these leftists do. He attacked Donald Trump. We're going to get to Trump. He had a rally over the weekend. We'll talk about that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, just so you know. The Biden administration's crap show. An Apple executive getting fired. You're going to love this story. More of the woke generation stuff. And by the way, it will give you all the reasons of why the Unapologetically American Comedy Tour is so important. Because this guy got fired over a joke. A joke. Al Franken, remember that? Remember him faking like he was grabbing the breast of a woman who was pretending to be asleep? He loses his Senate seat over this. But by the way, I have no sympathy for these leftist pukes. Not one ounce. They built the woke movement. They should die by the woke movement. But let me tell you what's not going to happen to me. The guy who dared to tweet that the Kavanaugh accusers are lying skanks and stands by it. I refuse to let the woke movement take care of me. Get rid of me. Oh, you can fire me, Fox News. I don't care. But that's it isn't going to matter. You're not going to. I'm undaunted. Let me put it that way. I'm undaunted. So anyway, going back to this, Trevor Noah drops from 1.3 million to 363,000 viewers. And Breitbart is writing this. A guy named Nick, his name is Nolte. Well, it's not Nick Nolte, but it's Nolte. I know his first. What's his first name? John Nolte. There's not that many Nolte's. He might be kin to Nick, for all I know. Anyway, he writes this. During his failed reign, I made something of a cottage industry ridiculing Stewart's pathetic ratings. The corporate media bent over backwards to juice the far left and smugly dishonest Stewart into a national phenomena when the truth was that less than 1% of Americans tuned in. Jon Stewart was a phenomena in CNN's eyes only, a useful court gesture, but ultimately a nobody who no one really remembers anymore. Now, going back to this, I completely agree with this guy. As I said, Stewart was a left-leaning guy who tried to keep it, you know, somewhat moderate. But at the end of the day, $1.3 million, that's nothing for these guys to get paid the kind of money they did. And Trevor Noah took it from nothing to below nothing. He took it. He lost 300% of that audience. Does that help you put it in perspective? Nolte goes on. And then along came Trevor Noah. Compared to Noah, Stewart was everything the fake media said he was. Stewart's ratings had been close to statistically zero. Somehow, Noah, whose arrival was treated as though a new pope had been announced, managed to attract an audience of nearly less than zero. Look, folks, let me put it this way. If you're bringing 363,000 viewers to a show, from a network perspective, that's YouTube. I'll put it this way. Steven Crowder, Brandon Tatum, the Hodge twins, any of these guys are drawing 10x the audience that Trevor Noah's drawing, and most of them are double or triple that of Jon Stewart. Do you think they're getting these fat contracts? And oh, God forbid you let little Kevin Jackson get on TV. If I were to get on TV, I'd tell you what. Make you remember the old days of Johnny Carson, because I would kick butt. I mean, look at Gutfeld. He's funny. But you know what's funny about Gutfeld? He goes and gets other funny people. Yeah, is he clever? He's clever. When you get to rehearse, that's fine. Look, I'm not going to take anything away from him. But I'll tell you this. If I had a show competing against Gutfeld, he'd get a run for his money. And any of these guys that you're talking about here, I would absolutely destroy. Why? Because I'm naturally funny. That's just the way it is. You don't have to like it. But let me tell you, you don't want to be on the other side of it. Because if I go after you with humor, people used to always say, Kevin, Fox News, what are you going to do about this? You know, let me tell you, if I went after people on Fox News the way I wanted to, they would have been crying. More when we get back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
We're talking about Trevor Noah, a loser, a comedic hack, a kid who comes over from South Africa, half white, half black, gets to America, a country that essentially affirmatively action puts him into the spotlight. He becomes a household name worth millions of dollars, dating, I think, Dua Lipa, who can really sing. I love this girl's music. And he gets handed a show that he takes from zero to sub-zero in terms of ratings. They make him out to be some sort of a folk hero, I think as John Nolte called him, you know, like the second coming of the Pope, comedically or whatever. And he's destroying comedy, destroying leftism. Well, let's talk about that for just a second. What is the real metaphor here? Look at the award shows. Look at any of them. Look at the Grammys. Look at the Emmys. Look at the Tonys. I hadn't been to Tonys in a while because there was nothing on Broadway. But look at any of them. The Golden Globes, the People's Choice, all of them. Drop, 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 drop. Okay, let's look at wokeism as it pertains to sports. Look at the statistics on the NFL. However woke you are, the more woke your sport is, the less participation you get. Folks, what am I telling you? Here, listening to the Kevin Jackson Network. Kevin Jackson, that would be me, I'm telling you that woke will make you go broke. Woke is losing in popularity every single day. It's been doing it for the better part of two decades, and everybody wants to pretend that it's actually growing. Why? Cancel culture. They make you think, oh, you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing. Look at all these people that will attack you. No, it's not all these people. It's a very, very small amount of people. And you know what's begun to happen, folks? You are waking up. You are finally growing a pair and saying, you know what? I'm not going to take this anymore. Good for you. What Trevor Noah's demise, and they make it sound, oh, he's he's going to leave the show. They kicked him off the show. I'm not going to tell you that because it's not the right thing to do. You can't kick off a little half-black guy, even affirmative action, even though he's a hack. You can't kick him off because, well, it wouldn't look good. The optics of that would be bad, Kev. Here's the bigger picture of all of this. If leftists can't cheat, as they did in the election, or control the narrative, as they try to do with, say, January 6th, they win nothing. They don't win on ideas. They don't win on anything. There is nothing that leftism is winning in. And play it out. I ask you to do this all the time. Play it out till it's bitter, deadly, ugly end, and leftism dies. A bitter death. Going back to Trevor Noah, Nolte wrote this. How is it even possible in a country of 330 million, a Trevor Noah with billions of dollars in free media promotion, the power of a multinational corporation like Paramount Media Networks behind him, attracted only 363,000 viewers? See, I'm of the same mindset. While they're stifling me on social media, I'm going to tell you right now, if all I did was try to get a TV show or put something on Rumble or whatever, I could generate more than Trevor Noah. If that's all I did, I could get that audience. If I was paid 10% of what Trevor Noah made, I would have dedicated myself to it. And I would prove to you I could get 500,000 viewers any day I want. Anytime. And I mentioned other people who far outstripped Trevor Noah. I'll mention them again. They deserve it. Brandon Tatum, a friend and a partner of mine. Millions of followers. Steven Crowder, millions of followers. Tim Pool, millions of followers. The Hodge Twins, millions of followers. A lot of people don't even know who these people are. They have larger audiences. In fact, almost everybody I mentioned has a larger audience than Tucker Carlson. But you'll never hear about it. Nolte goes on to say, a test pattern of my butt has earned higher ratings. It's a true story, by the way. He goes on to say this. I'm sure the far-left entertainment media will blame American racism for Noah's collapse, even though Bill Cosby, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Oprah Winfrey, Arsenio Hall, and countless other black entertainers have attracted higher ratings. Says Trevor Noah's problem is that he has almost no charisma, and he isn't even funny. And his left-wing humor, which is really propaganda with a laugh track, is predictable and therefore dull. Man, I've been saying this for so long. So long. They would give you a little commercial cut of what was going to be on the Trevor Noah show. And it was horrible. Horrible. I'm not kidding. Melissa and I would look at you and go, that's not even funny. I would ask people, you know, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I don't get it. Everybody, we all said the same thing. Look, I didn't follow this guy's numbers. Every now and then we might do a show, you know, or something where I'd show you the numbers, how they relate to so-and-so. And of course, everybody, oh, Gutfeld's number one, Gutfeld. Okay, fine. Gutfeld's number one. Against who? Against Hack, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel? They're all hacks. But I really want to stress, they're all hacks. You could add them all together. They don't even make 5 minutes of the Johnny Carson show or any of the other old school shows. Oh, but Kevin, time was different then. Everybody was glued in. Look, everybody was glued in, but you didn't have to watch it. There was still stuff to do in your lives. And yes, times have changed, but Kevin, there's so many other choices. Let me tell you something. Donald Trump proves it. There's a lot of choices for stuff, but this guy still gets 10, 15,000 people to show up at a rally, and you know what he's going to talk about. Don't tell me that this is something new. You know, people make their choices, and Trump, I'll put it this way, if Trump figured out a way that he wanted to do a TV show, he would blow out all these numbers I was just talking about for these leftist hacks. Anyway, he goes on, he says this. Humor emanates from a grain of truth mixed with surprise. Noah surprised no one. At least Jon Stewart had energy and cold mug and make faces, that emanated funny voices. Noah always looked like he was ready for bed. But here's what Noah wrote. I've loved hosting the show. It's been one of my greatest challenges, he announced in the void that is his audience Thursday. He says, it's been one of my greatest joys. I've loved trying to make people laugh. I'm glad that he put trying, even when the stories are particularly bleep on the worst days. We've laughed together, we've cried together, but after 7 years, I feel like it's time. No, they felt like it's time. He says, and the world turned to one another and asked, who is this? Noah blew a magnificent opportunity. Imagine his career trajectory had he shown the moral courage to go after Joe Biden with the same zeal he used against Trump. Not only would he have stood out from the dozen other left-wing late-night losers, but he would have gained an entirely new audience. See, that's what I was saying. He would prefer to please and earn affection from an Elizabeth Warren than to make millions of everyday people laugh. To retain his status, notice Noah remained compliant, and this cowardly compliance destroyed his art, his show, and any shot he had at a true legacy. The same can be said of the leftists and the Democrats.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
It has to end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No!
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Why do leftists want to play God? Those are the people who really want to play God. That's how you can sort of determine a leftist from a rightist. One of the many ways, but this is one. Why do they want to play God? I can tell you this. I don't know many conservatives who want to play God. We're not so full of ourselves that we want to play God. And here's the irony. We believe in God. We believe in something bigger than ourselves. Leftists don't believe in God. They believe in a concept of God, but they think they are God. Welcome, folks. Kevin Jackson's who you're listening to. I know it may sound a bit convoluted, but if you think about it, it makes sense. If a leftist becomes a movie star, for example, suddenly their opinion means more than yours. So what? They don't know anything about what they're talking about. So what? All they do is study for a role. If they study for a role as a scientist, for example, they think they're scientists. If they study for a role as a doctor, they think they're a doctor. They think, okay, I learned all there is to know about this in this 4-month intensive period where some doctor poured all this knowledge into their head and gave them all these big words, and suddenly they're neurosurgeons or cardiologists or something. It is insane. The Kevin Jackson Network, 844-551-8255. They become singers. Okay, you melodic melody comes out of your voice, out of your throat. But what does that mean? Oh, now suddenly you should be the one talking about, well, they need to save the climate. They know nothing. I'm not saying they're totally stupid. I'm sure they're bright people. But when you're studying acting and you play the roles, if you give up engineering, you're probably no longer going to be a really good engineer. You might know of it conceptually, but you don't know of it. And what gets me, And I have these discussions with many leftists, and sometimes I have them with you conservatives. You know, I'm studying something. I've been studying politics now for 13 years. Now, I've been analyzing it for many, many more decades. Not more decades than 13, but you know what I mean. Don't try to play with me. And so when I'm talking about a subject, I may have started out in the first year or two going, okay, let me figure this out. Yeah, and the same way leftists are. But once you've been doing it for 13, almost 14 years, you'd be a fool not to have understood it in more depth, not to have backfilled. I call it backfilling. But leftists, that's what they do. They just give you, they learn a superficial something. And here's what's bad. Most of them only learn it at the, literally at the surface level. That's all they know. They know a talking point. Somebody fed it to them. You press any one of them beyond a talking point. Why do you hate Donald Trump?
Why do I hate him?
Why do you hate him?
Because
that's not an answer to toddler. Give me an answer. They can't. It doesn't matter what it is. Why do you hate fracking?
It's just, it's bad.
Well, why is it bad? Explain it to me. What does it do?
It's just like bad for the environment.
Okay, you said bad, all right. You added a little bit more to it. Okay, so we got a preposition now. But what? Why is it bad for the environment or to the environment, or choose whatever preposition you want? Nothing. Ask them anything. Go two layers deep. You don't have to, by the way. They can't get beyond the first one. They'll add a preposition and that's it. That's all they have. Yet, they're definitive. They know it. They are so clear on it, they can argue it with you at the superficial level. And that's it. And no matter how hard you try, the less they take it. Why? Because they are God. And the super wealthy really believe themselves to be God. Don't let them get more money than you, and then suddenly they know it. Have you met these people? Look, if we were to measure on how much money you made, think about this in your career choice. So you've got Aaron Judge, who can smack a baseball, probably better than anybody maybe that's ever played the game. The dude's just a home run hitting machine. And I know Josh Gibson hit a lot more home runs. And, of course, there's Roger Maris, Babe Ruth, and all these others. And, you know, and then the steroid era, Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds. I get it. But this guy can just smoke the ball. But I'll tell you this. If he got in the octagon, he'd get his butt kicked. He would be dominated. He would be made to look foolish. So if we measure on baseball statistics, the best guy in the world, the guy we should all emulate, right now is Aaron Judge. But Aaron Judge, out of his environment, is nothing. If we measure that, so let me put it another way. Do you measure people by how much money they have? Is some one of your friends who's made more money, do you consider them to be better than you? If you're like me, I doubt it. I don't think you, there. I have lots of friends that have a lot more money than I have. That's not my measurement of how good I've achieved in life or anything. What about job? Do some of your friends have better jobs? Of course they do. Do you measure based on that? No. Are some of your friends martial artists? Could they kick your butt? Could some of your friends beat you up? The chances are yes. Is that the way you measure? Of course not. Because you're a human being who understands all these things, and that's not the way you measure. You measure based on human emotions and human interactions. And in fact, you most of the time you measure based on how people show restraint. Maybe somebody is very much, much smarter than you in a topic, but they don't make you feel stupid. Maybe someone is tougher than you, but they're deferential. You know, they don't care. But not the left, man. You let them get anything over you and they dominate. The reason why I'm bringing all this up is I want to talk about Bill Gates and one of his success stories. You guys have, you know, obviously heard of this fake meat, right? We're all supposed to be eating fake meat. God made meat. He made animals, and the Bible says he made them for man, for us to hold dominion over. Not to be stupid about it, to hold dominion over. So we have conservation efforts. We know don't overfish the oceans. You know, don't overhunt, have seasons, make sure that people aren't going out poaching and ruining things for everybody else. That's why these rules, we put these rules in place. But the Bible has told us, look, you have dominion over the animals. You can have them work for you. You can have them fuel you. And we do. And so we have all these delicious meats out there. But we have a group of people who say, well, we shouldn't be eating these animals and we shouldn't be doing it. And all these, you know, PETA love, you know, PETA vegans and whatever they are. They've tried to tell us now, don't follow your instinct. I mean, this is evolution of man.
Don't follow your instinct. Disregard your biology, which means you require protein. And we're going to make it for you. This article is about Beyond Meat, the company that makes meat substitutes. And the story, according to Bloomberg, is the company's stock has lost 77% of its value over the last year. All plant-based meat substitute companies are losing customer share. Are you aware of this? I've eaten a little bit of it because I was at a vegan's house and they assured me that I wouldn't be able to taste the difference. I assure you, I could. I know what a delicious steak tastes like. You can't duplicate it with a bunch of vegetable products. Anyway, they said the sale of refrigerated meat alternatives at retailers are down by 10.5% by volume for the last year. One reason is the price. Food prices going through the roof, and a lot fewer customers, they say, are willing to pay a premium for fake meat when the real thing isn't that much more expensive. See, that's the other thing. Leftists go out, they create this fake meat, and then they go, oh, but it takes a lot more to create fake meat, so it costs more, but we're doing the environment so much better. And so they act like they're willing to pay more, right? We took the gluten out, so you should pay more. If you took my gluten out, I want to pay less or give me my gluten. Yeah, I'm going to do something with my gluten. This is from Deloitte. Deloitte believes the industry is suffering from a perception problem. In July, it surveyed 2,000 customers and found a decline in the belief that plant-based meat is healthier and more environmentally sustainable than meat from animals. Unbelievable. And the other thing is they tell you it's healthier. Yeah, the same way the vaccine is better for you, right? Let me just say, again, this idea that these people love to play God, they want you to believe that scientists can take over the metabolism, you know, understanding the metabolism and how your body processes better than nature. It's frustrating and fascinating to me at the same time. And how we go for it. We fall for it. So they tell us coffee's good for you. No, too many coffee's bad. Too little coffee's bad. Too much wine is good. Look, have this much wine. Don't have this much wine. An aspirin a day. No, don't take the aspirin. We'll be back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Con Kevino Jacksones.
Talking about the left, their love of playing God. They know everything better. Science can figure it out. Look, I'm all for science. I don't mind people saying, let's just take a peek at this. You know, if you want to, you know, science has certainly shown that it can do things positive for humans. But there was a time, in my opinion, when science did things in order for mankind to develop and, you know, continue God's good work, so to speak. Now it's like science is all about, can we alter? Can we do better? Can we make it? I remember the $6 million man, and remember that show? I think everybody wanted to be that guy. Who doesn't want to run at 60 miles an hour or whatever, right? Or have an arm that could toss a tree. Now, the physics of it, of course, are ridiculous because, you know, your body wouldn't be able to. Hey, don't get me off track because I'll get into my engineering mode. But I think you know what I'm saying. There are elements of what science could potentially do for us. Artificial knees. But everybody I know that's gotten them, so I wish I'd gotten them a decade earlier. Artificial hips. Artificial joints. But the remaking of the human body is ridiculous. It is made to such a level of perfection, man. I just think people need to understand it. Now, that's not to say that you look at yourself and say, I could use some improvement. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, the human body is also frail. It at some point, it's even going to break down. There's an age where you stop looking and going, I can't jump over that anymore.
And that's all that's part of the entire development of the life cycle. Think about what I mean by that. When you're young, you think you're invincible, so you're willing to jump out of that tree. You're willing to try things. You're willing to test the limits of the human body. Then there comes a point where you're like, okay, I'm on the downhill slide here. I'm no longer willing to test it. And your mind matures. Think of it in the sense that your mind is immature when your body is ready to test. And so you do stupid stuff. But as your mind matures and your body starts to degrade, there comes a point where it becomes optimum, where your mind goes, I can press it, and your body goes, I can do it. And then there comes a point where your mind goes, okay, be smart, you can no longer do it, and now you're on a downhill slide. And it's okay, because you're still going to have this beautiful life. Your body is going to slowly start to wither away. You're no longer going to have that schoolgirl figure for the beach. And guys, you're not going to be a Chippendale, but your mind's going to become more ripe and mature. And you're going to learn to appreciate all the things that you left behind and all the things that lie before you, because you're going to have more years behind you than you are in front of you. And that level of maturity is going to make you a better human being, a smarter human being. You are going to be the $6 million man or woman, pardon the pun, mentally, and you would have never become that in your youth because you would be thinking differently. That evolution of the brain is just as beautiful as the evolution of the body into this perfect form in, you know, in your 20s and 30s and maybe into your 40s and 50s like me. But, you know, but wherever you end up, it's okay. And when that downhill slide occurs, some of us embrace it and we say we're okay with it. Others fight it to the death. And it's okay either way, too, as long as you understand that you're going to lose. It is a fight. You will lose. Kevin Jackson's here. You're listening to the Kevin Jackson Network. We're talking about this food substitute and the idea that these leftists always want to play God in dealing with the human body, the human form, the condition of man. A good example, climate change. You know, leftists are going to save the world. How? By stealing your money. And then creating what? Beyond meat? Beyond meat. Oh, who knew, folks, there's something beyond meat? Now, can you imagine making something beyond vegetables? Beyond vegetables. I grew up where my grandmother would say, go out to the garden and go get me tomatoes, onions, peppers, some collard greens, whatever. Or turnips. I would literally go outside while my grandmother was cooking and go pick fresh stuff right out of, beyond vegetables. What am I going to do? Hydroponic, grow them in space. What could I possibly do to improve what nature has created? Tell me. Have you ever had that chapstick? Have you guys had that chapstick? You know, like just chapstick. And you smelled it and it smells like cherry. Like, ooh, it smells like strawberry or whatever flavor chapstick. But when I was little, I would like put a little bit of like, taste it. And you know what it tastes like? It tastes like candle wax. They can make it smell absolutely aromatic to the flavor of whatever you want. But you know what it tastes like? It tastes like candle wax. Because you're not going to improve it. And oh, by the way, the smell, you say, oh, Kevin, it was a delicious smell. It was a wonderful smell. Give me your lab-created smell, and I'm telling you, I'll find that smell in nature, and nature will absolutely kick its butt. That's how things work, folks. God has made this amazing planet, and everything in it is better than man can make. And as I said on another show, you know what science does? In medicine, the medicines, and I mentioned aloe. The reason why nobody just uses straight aloe out of a product, because you can't patent it. You have to synthesize it. But indigenous people have been using things like aloe and mint and all these other natural herbs and natural essential oils and things like this for millennia to fix things. Nature has a cure. All you got to do is look for it. All you got to do is know it's there. That's why the Aboriginal peoples of any land
are the smartest ones there because they know exactly what cures what. It's been handed down forever. But no, leave it to some leftists to go, you know what? I know you see that beef cattle over there, that delicious cow that God created for man to eat. And we figured out, I don't know, it fell in the fire one day and somebody went, wow, this tastes good. And somebody ate it. I don't know how it got discovered that that was something good to eat, probably out of desperation. Who knows? So we did this. And then some leftist comes along and goes, you know, I think I can improve on that beef. I can. And I'll do it with plant-based products. Yeah. Give me some of those reeds and that seaweed or whatever else. Look, I love vegetables. Love them. But I'll tell you this. They can't supply, they will not replace meat for me. I've had oh, Kevin, you got to taste this burger. It tastes just like a hamburger. Okay, so if it's beyond meat, shouldn't it taste better? Shouldn't I put my lips around it and go, oh, Lord, why have I been depriving myself of this my whole life? I feel like I've been unleashed. You know, are you kidding? How about it's barely meat, or we're trying to make it meat, but don't tell me it's beyond meat. It isn't beyond meat. If it were beyond meat, restaurants would quit serving steaks and they'd serve beyond meat. They'd say, oh, we got rid of our ribeyes and our fillets because we now have beyond meat. Have you tried it? And you tried and go, oh, Lord. Yeah, well, I already did that. So there you go. Anyway, Deloitte says that the problem is that people used to believe beyond meat was healthier, plant-based meat was healthier and more environmentally sustainable than meat from animals. They said Deloitte also suspects that the addressable market may be more limited than previously thought, with a growing cultural resistance to its woke status, even among those seeking to reduce red meat consumption. And so they use a case in point. Cracker Barrel announced plans, they said, to add Impossible Foods sausage to its menu over the summer, but it faced an onslaught of criticism on social media. Let me tell you, if them crackers in Cracker Barrel stop serving meat, that's the seventh sign. Game over, okay? It says it's a twist on go woke, go broke truism. Beyond Meat and other fake meat companies have proudly been marketing their products to vegans and hip wokesters as environmentally friendly and healthier alternatives to red meat. While the benefits of using plants instead of gas-passing, methane-spewing cattle might be a selling point to some, any health benefits from eating meat substitutes are as yet unproven. And then get this, the COO of Beyond Meat, Douglas Ramsey, was suspended after he tried to bite a man's nose off following an altercation at a University of Arkansas football game. I think it was like one of those little commercials where they're in the boat and they're starving and the dude looks over at his buddy and his buddy looks like a big old basted turkey and then he just decides, you know what, I'm gonna go eat my buddy. This vegan at Beyond Meat, the COO of Beyond Meat, obviously needed to get some meat. What's my warning? Leftists are dangerous and they like to play God.
Putting an end to identity politics.
And now, something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.